28. Invaders.
"Act swiftly when trapping, Aeltis. Begin by luring the beast from its cave with a conjuration, like a Yidoth. Aeltis can't tell the difference between actual creatures and those conjured from the old and all plane."
From Colvin R. Bryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 115. After encountering that strange monster, Finch led Amandal and the others at a furious pace. The illusionists had to enhance everyone to keep up with the winged creature's headlong flight. After several hours, they reached the 25th floor. Finch finally slowed and turned to Amandal and the others.
"The next staircase is not far," he said, sounding out of breath.
Soldiers muttered phrases of relief. Though they had been enhanced, the hurried climb through Tardalim had been exhausting. Even Amandal was tired.
"I should have ridden atop a cistern."
Weary, the party continued through the halls of the 25th floor. As they walked through a short maze of corridors, a putrid scent filled the hall. Amandal gagged, the noxious fumes assaulting both his and his conjuration's noses. It was more pungent through the cistern's nostrils. Soldiers and mage alike coughed, and several wondered aloud at the cause.
"It smells like death," Jacob said, sounding intrigued.
Finch nodded, rubbing his trunk.
"The invaders," he said.
Amandal raised his sleeve to his face. He hadn't put much thought into Finch's claims about invaders, but now he was curious. They continued through the corridors, eventually entering a hallway that ended at a dead end 5 sections away. Partly liquefied corpses littered the hallway and the nearby stairwell. Much of the floor around the corpses was stained a dark reddish brown. Most of the dead were armor-clad, though some wore the battle garbs of mages, robes with metal plates fused into them. Had Finch's people done this?
Or was it that monster from my nightmares?
Amandal tightened his jaw and glanced to the winged creature. Finch flitted above the corpses, moving straight for the stairs.
"Wait," Maraudin called.
Finch spun, hovering in place. He lifted his helmet to reveal his hairless eyebrows.
"Why?"
"We need to clear a path," Maraudin said. "I don't want to step through that."
He pointed to the rotting corpses. Finch blinked at the retired soldier, looking confused. At least what Amandal assumed was confusion.
"I'll move them," Amandal said.
Ildin and Fendar chimed in as well.
"Perhaps I should let them handle it," Amandal thought.
Illusionists couldn't smell through creatures or conjurations they enthralled. Mirodin called for everyone to step aside, and Amandal commanded his earthen giants to move ahead of the party. Ildin and Fendar did the same with the conjurations under their control. All the while, the soldiers and mercenaries crept back toward the maze of corridors. Amandal did the same with his other conjurations, especially the cistern. While the non-elemental conjurations retreated, the first of the earthen giants reached the corpses. Amandal focused his vision through the stony creature while dropping it to one knee. Among the dead, Amandal caught sight of an armored man turned on his side. The front of his breastplate was partially exposed, and 2 crimson serpentine heads were emblazoned upon it. The heads looked similar to those of Mindalarn's 7-headed hydra. Intrigued, Amandal commanded the earthen giant to turn the man over, revealing the entire emblem on the breastplate. It was the 7-headed hydra of Mindalarn.
"Oh, no," Amandal gasped.
"What is it?"
Maraudin shouted warily. Amandal took full control of the earthen giant, turning over armored corpse after armored corpse. Each bore the symbol of the Mindalarn Empire on their breastplates.
"She lied to us,"
Amandal's anger boiled. He had suspected Vaem was hiding something from them, but not something like this.
"By all that's magical,"
Ildin gasped. His conjurations had also turned over several corpses. A hand gripped Amandal's shoulder. Opening his eyes, Amandal turned around. Mirodin stood beside him, his face twisted with worry.
"Well?"
Mirrodin demanded. They're Mindalarnians, Amandal said. They're all Mindalarnians.
Mirrodin flinched and turned to the corpses. The man set his jaw, then cautiously moved toward the conjurations. An uproar of complaints surged among the soldiers, mercenaries, and mages. Several voiced Amandal's thoughts of betrayal. After all, everyone was under the impression that they would be the first to plunder Tartalim. Amid the outburst, Captain Idara stepped forward with a few of his sailors. There was a fury in the sea captain's eyes.
That heartless whore.
Idara shook his head, mumbling to himself. Amandal thought it sounded like a vow of vengeance. Amandal studied the sea captain for a moment, then returned his focus to the conjurations. Mirrodin was crouched beside the first earthen giant, inspecting the dead. Careful not to crush the retired soldier, Amandal began shoving the corpses to the wall. Some of the corpses dripped putrid liquid from their armor, leaving wet streaks on the stained ground. Ildin and Fendar's enthralled conjurations had already begun clearing the bodies and were partway to the stairs. Soon a wide path was cleared to the stairwell, though it was damp from the shifted bodies. Ildin moved to the landing and began clearing the steps by dropping the corpses over the railing. Collisions of metal rang through the air as the party approached the stairs. Fench had since flown up and down the steps, reporting that the shift had not yet occurred on the 26th floor. Both ends of the hallway above them were blocked. Ildin soon finished clearing the stairs and moved his enthralled conjurations ahead, while Mirrodin ordered everyone to wait on the stairs. The mercenaries complained loudly, but Mirrodin spurred them with insults and threats of being left behind as fodder for that monster. That compelled most to enter the stench-filled stairwell. There were some who had obeyed immediately, particularly the soldiers and squad leaders. They had begun sifting through the corpses, some voicing hopes of discovering any sort of plunder, coins, trinkets, and Tevis rolls.
Disgusting, Amandal thought, carefully picking his way around the damp spots in the cleared path. The idea of rummaging through liquefied bodies made him shudder. He stopped at the bottom step, behind Idara and his sailors. He considered pushing his way to the top, but several of the men complained the stench was just as bad, if not worse, on the 26th floor.
Great. Fighting the urge to vomit, Amandal returned his focus to his conjurations and took note of their positions. Most were in the cleared path except Ayeltis and most of the Cistern.
Better clear some more room.
He sent a command to his earthen conjurations, and they shoved more corpses out of the way. Soon there was enough space for all his minions.
Keep clearing, that voice said in Amandal's mind. It is close.
Amandal raised an eyebrow and shook his head. Was that voice referring to the polished dome the codger had shown him? According to that dream of his, finding it was the whole reason for coming to Tartalim. But why would he need to go to an ancient reliquary to find something among dead Mindalarnians? Besides, he had no intention of touching those rotting corpses. Moving them with his conjurations was bad enough. An irritated rumble echoed in Amandal's mind.
There is a Shanak among the Mindalarnians. Find it.
Amandal buried his face further into his sleeve.
There's no way I'm digging through those corpses, he thought, eyeing the men sifting through the dead Mindalarnians.
Several were inspecting weapons from fallen soldiers, while others were studying an object that looked like a Tevis roll.
Don't let them discover it, the voice said vehemently.
Amandal shook his head, his nose rubbing against his sleeve. There was no way he was going to move those corpses. But if he didn't comply, would the voice haunt him for the rest of his days? That thought made him reconsider.
Fine, he muttered. You win.
Are you all right?
Ildin whispered from beside Amandal. When had the illusionist moved? Hadn't he been at the head of the party? Amandal studied his friend, his face still in his sleeve.
Do you remember the request during the frostbite incident?
Ildin nodded and moved closer.
What about it?
The old codger wants me to dig, Amandal said, then wiggled his eyebrows and his head toward the corpses. He says it's in there.
The illusionist's eyes widened.
Really? In that heap?
Amandel nodded, and another rumble echoed in his mind.
The shift is coming, the voice said. Hurry!
Growling into his sleeve, Amandel sent a command to the earthen conjurations, and they began sifting through the corpses.
You know, you could tell me where it is.
The voice didn't reply. Amandel sighed and closed his eyes. He saw through each of the conjurations, but focused on the smaller earthen elementals. He let the earthen giants do the heavy lifting while the others did the sorting. Many of the faces were sunken, lacking eyes. Their ajar mouths were empty of teeth. The hands of those not in armor were shriveled, looking like bones draped with dried skin. Amandel shuddered. Soon, one of Amandel's conjurations came to a corpse with an oddly shaped face that was anything but human. Amandel flinched, but regained his composure.
"What's wrong?" Ilden asked.
Amandel didn't answer. Through his conjuration, he studied the odd corpse. The strange skull protruded like the snout of an animal, and the rotting skin was a dark pink instead of putrid beige. The rest of its form was human-like, except its hands, which seemed larger, its fingers longer than a man's and tipped with black. On the floor beneath the corpse were hundreds of tiny crimson diamond-shaped plates. Were those scales? Something black lay beneath the crimson scales, lodged into the dark reddish-brown gunk covering the floor. Its surface was smooth and it looked rounded, like a dome. Whatever it was looked too small to be that Shanok thing, unless it was partly buried.
Good,
the voice oozed into Amandel's mind, sounding pleased.
Now dig it out.
Amandel opened his eyes and glanced toward the ceiling.
That was a confirmation if I ever heard one.
He quickly returned his focus to the earthen elemental, commanding it to kneel. Its rocky fingers swept the crimson scales away, then picked at the gunk. Chunks of the putrid substance came loose around the black object. It soon came free, and Amandel commanded the conjuration to retrieve it. The object was the Shanok from his dream, shallow, dome-shaped, and the size of a man's hand. But only part of it had a polished sheen. The rest was tinged by the putrid substance encrusting the floor.
Hold on to it,
Amandel commanded the conjuration, and the earthen elemental obeyed, concealing the black disk in its rocky hand.
Did you find it?
Ilden whispered. Amandel opened his eyes and turned to his friend. He began to nod, but stopped. Captain Idara was staring intently at Amandel. Had the sea captain overheard their conversation?
Not that it matters, Amandel thought.
He had been cryptic. Ilden glanced over his shoulder, noticing the captain. Let's go back to Maraden, the illusionist suggested, pushing his way through the crowd of mercenaries and soldiers. Amandel followed after Ilden. He passed Idara, who continued studying him with cold eyes.
What's his problem?
Once Amandel was partway up the stairs, Maraden began shouting furiously.
No, I forbid it.
But we would have an entire army, Jacob shouted, sounding flabbergasted. Why shouldn't we use them?
Amandel raised an eyebrow as he picked his way up the stairs. The two men could only be arguing about one thing, reanimating the dead Mandalorians.
Because they stink, Maraden shouted. Do you want us all to vomit?
Billinus asked frankly.
Can you not smell them?
Amandel stepped around a short mercenary so he could see ahead to the top step. Jacob threw his hands into the air and shook his head.
What if that thing comes back? We could use the dead as a front line.
Fendar and Sylas stood beside Jacob, appalled at the necromancer's suggestion. Sylas put a hand to her mouth, looking woozy.
Perhaps if they were just skeletons, a soldier said, shrugging, but not like this. Those bodies?
He couldn't seem to find the words.
The answer is no, Jacob, Maraden shouted. Do not reanimate them.
Finch fluttered among the men, his tail swaying.
What is reanime?
He wants to bring them back from the dead, Orin said.
Finch gasped and then squealed. He quickly grabbed the bottom of his trunk to stifle the noise.
Jacob's eyes widened while his jaw slackened.
How dare you accuse me of being an Arpranist? I don't bring anything back from the dead. I use the dead.
He spun on Maraudin.
And if you don't let us,
he gestured to another mage beside him,
then we won't have a chance against that monster when it returns.
Maraudin's eyes narrowed. My answer is firm, Jacob. The retired soldier spun from the steps, disappearing beyond the rail. Jacob threw his hands into the air again.
You let the conjurer use his pets. Why can't I use mine?
Because his don't stink, Villainous pointed to Amandal. Well, except for those mage's parasites.
Quintashals, Amandal thought, fighting the urge to correct the man. If there hadn't been tension among the party, he wouldn't have bit his tongue.
Jacob muttered to himself as Amandal reached the highest step. Ildin hurried after Maraudin, who was standing in the section of hallway beyond the stairwell. It, too, was littered with corpses. Among the dead Mindalarnians were winged creatures that resembled Fench, although they were twice his size. Those dead Tuladine were covered in thin armor that matched Fench's helmet. Amandal turned to Fench, but the young creature didn't seem to notice its dead kin.
Or perhaps he's ignoring them.
A sharp ping resounded from the walls, followed by the luminescent lines heralding a shift.
Be ready to move, Maraudin shouted.
The light on the walls and ceiling darkened in color, followed by two more pings. The white stone blocking the hallways vanished, revealing long corridors. Fench immediately fluttered to the left and Maraudin chased after him. Amandal followed, sending a mental command for his conjurations to do the same. Beside him, Jacob continued muttering complaints. Amandal was glad Maraudin had been firm in his orders. The thought of rotting corpses walking among the party was sickening.
I do hope we can rest soon, said a mercenary beside Amandal.
Another mercenary snorted.
Not till after we get clear of the stench.
Felinia was perplexed at Commander Calamir's abrupt change in behavior. Vaem had done something to him. Whatever had happened abated the hostilities between the two of them, enabling the expedition to continue their ascent. They managed to climb up to the 15th floor without any further incidents, but Morjadayan and the other Barjanists had kept everyone shielded with their magic. They encountered only one rearranging of the halls on the 12th floor, which forced them to take a new route that was at least 10 grand finials out of the way. Unlike the other floors, the staircase to the 16th was nowhere to be found. Felinia had sent her illusions down every possible turn, but each corridor was blocked. The report drew complaints of fatigue.
We'll rest here, Vaem shouted. Squad 1 will take first watch, then 2 and 3.
Sighs of relief filled the corridor. They had been meandering through Tardalim's halls for quite some time.
Was it past midnight?
Perhaps they had marched all night. While everyone settled down, Felinia picked her way to a nearby doorway. They had passed many of those doorways, but most were blocked. The corridor's uniform nature spurred her curiosity. What lay behind each of those doors? She wished she'd had the time to investigate the rooms beyond them.
One benefit to first watch, she thought, sighing.
Felinia peered through the door as she approached. Rows of cylindrical beige crystals, encased by golden framework, lined a large room stacked on top of one another 4 times over. Each crystal contained a darkened silhouette, either masculine or feminine. Were men and women trapped inside them?
Or entombed?
Intrigued, Felinia entered the vast room, studying it with a sweeping glance. It looked to be as wide as the hallway sections were long. She glanced over her shoulder, noting the width of the hallway and the depth of the room.
That's the same length, she thought. Felinia put the measurements aside and approached the nearest crystal. The feminine silhouette inside became clearer with each step. The woman looked bald, and her skin was a dark blue, and her face. Felinia flinched and brought a hand to her mouth to muffle a scream, but no scream came. The woman trapped inside was not a woman at all, but a hairless creature covered in blue scales. And her face. It was an elongated snout that looked reptilian.
"What's wrong?" Dardell shouted from behind Felinia.
She fought to turn, but every muscle felt frozen. Felinia couldn't help but stare at the creature in the crystal.
"They're not human," she muttered, "and it's unlike anything I've ever seen."
The shift happened more often the higher Amandal and the others climbed, as Finch had claimed. The winged creature had resumed flying at a furious pace after leaving the 28th floor. Still enhanced, the expedition had to sprint to keep up with him. Three shifts occurred before they ascended the next flight of stairs. On Tardalim's 31st floor, the shift happened every few minutes. Finch told the expedition to stop several times even before a shift occurred. Billinus contested Finch's claim that the shifts had no pattern to them, but Finch ignored him. Eventually, the expedition ran into the section housing the staircase leading to the 32nd floor. Two faint pings resonated from up the stairs as they began their ascent. Finch fluttered halfway up the staircase and spun.
"The shift is really fast up there," Finch said. "You have to be careful."
"How fast?" Maraudin asked.
Finch shrugged.
"Fast. You'll see. Just listen."
The rest of the party crammed into the landing while the conjurations waited in the section along the stairs. Another ping resonated from the upper halls. The light indicating the shift reflected off the walls of the stairwell, followed by two pings. By Amandal's estimate, the shift occurred almost every minute.
"The stairs don't move up there," Finch said, "so it's not too hard to find your way to the roost."
Several of the mercenaries and soldiers exchanged dumbfounded looks.
"Well, that's good," one of the men said sarcastically.
"Everyone bunch together on the landing," Maraudin shouted, "and be ready to run."
"Why don't we use the conjurations?"
Ilden asked.
"We can ride atop them so we're not so spread out."
Maraudin studied Amandal, then the two illusionists.
"It's a good idea,"
Finch said, a smile forming on the end of his trunk.
"Can you two handle that?" Maraudin asked Ilden and Fendar. "I know Amandal can."
"Yes,"
Fendar said tersely. Ilden nodded, not seeming to take offense. Maraudin turned to the men and called out the squads that were to ride atop the conjurations. That left only three groups that would be running, including Amandal's. Another ping resonated as everyone got into position.
"Finch, how close are we to the roost?" Maraudin asked.
Finch stroked his trunk.
Well, this is the last floor. That's why the stairs don't move."
"That's not what I was asking. How far away are the stairs in terms of grand finials?"
"Grand what?"
Finch asked. Maraudin narrowed his eyes at Finch, but didn't speak. That drew mirthful chuckles from most of the squads, including Amandal.
"He's so much like a child."
Billinus, however, wasn't laughing.
"And what about the Tevis Rawls?"
he asked, his tone serious.
"Where are they?"
Finch eyed the squad leader, then answered him.
"The Tevis Rawls are hidden beneath the roost. I'll show you."